Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of Inside Scoop Live and Internet Voices Radio. This is one of many features presented to you by Reader Views. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Hello, and thank you for tuning in. Today I'm chatting with Jeff Ault about his new book, A Hike for Mike. But before we dive into his book, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Jeff. He excels at combining worthy causes with outdoor adventures. Jeff walked the Appalachian Trail to raise money for a home for the disabled, inspiring an annual event that has raised more than $100,000 to date. This walk is featured in his award-winning book, A Walk for Sunshine, now in its fifth printing. Jeff has also been an expert hiking commentator for ESPN's Inside America's National Parks, and his adventures have been widely featured in media across the country. Jeff is also an acclaimed keynote speaker. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Gail. It's good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here. You know, even though your book was inspired on a rather tragic note, it's a delightful read. And at this point, I would like to invite you to just share a little bit of the essence of your book with the audience.
Well, the book is a humorous, inspirational look at really a couple heading off into the woods, and I might add my spouse being a domesticated participant, not used to leaving all the amenities behind, like the hot shower and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
running water.
That's right. It led to quite an adventure, and you know, it's really kind of like a good book if you're looking to see how you can remain married and camp in the woods.
Oh, I thought that was hilarious. I really did. How to camp in the woods and stay married.
There's a couple of key essentials to bringing your wife into the outdoors. Now, granted, there is a good proportion of women who have taken to the woods, and the numbers grow every year, but those of you out there know who I'm talking about when I say that there's many among us who prefer their hot showers and warm beds on vacation. And so there's some staple items that I recommend bringing along.
Okay, and those would be?
Well, number one on the list is baby wipes.
Uh-huh.
And if you think you have enough, add more, because you don't.
Uh-huh.
That will be a lifesaver when your spouse starts complaining about all the grime. And the number two is toilet tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think you have enough there, think again. And I don't know what my wife did with all that toilet tissue. She must have wrapped her entire body in it three or four times a day. But she went through about five times the amount of toilet tissue that I would typically use. So those two staples right there got us through some of the most difficult times in the woods. And
how funny.
Yeah. Then also, you know, you want to romanticize everything. And
so don't tell the whole story ahead of time, right?
That's right. You know, explain how romantic it'll be to watch the sunset and kind of gloss over any talk about not taking a shower. Avoid that conversation and avoid some of those discussions of the wild animals and things like that unless they come up.
Until they come up, is that it?
That's right.
What about weather-related issues?
Well, you know, you want to be prepared for the worst and hope for the best. And, for example, my wife, Beth, loves lakes. So I knew that if I shared with her that walking the John Muir Trail, I let her know that we'd walk past thousands of lakes. There's so many lakes out there, they haven't named them all.
Wow.
And her eyes lit up because she loves beachfront lakes. But I left out the word glacial. Because, you know, you're up at 10,000 feet or higher, and these lakes are frozen over most of the year. So when they do thaw, it's cold enough to chill beer.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, as a matter of fact, now, didn't you have to pack accordingly for something like that?
Yes. We had thermal underwear. We had sleeping bags that were rated for 20 degrees. During the day, the temperatures would get up well near 100, and then at night it dropped down to below freezing.
Oh, wow.
So you'd start off walking with hat and gloves on, and by midday, you're down a t-shirt and shorts and looking for shade to take a break out of the sun.
Would it have been a nice idea about that time to have taken a little quick dip in that icy cold water?
You know, in spite of how cold that water was, at one point my wife felt so grimy that she put her distaste, and she hates cold. She put her distaste for cold behind her and jumped in a lake. And there were some hikers camped nearby, and they knew how painfully cold that lake was, and their eyes were bulging out of their head as they saw my wife. And I would refuse to be outdone by her, so I jumped in, and I can attest to the painfully cold waters. And it was truly an invigorating experience.
I have no doubt about that at all. Well, Jeff, even though I alluded to it, tell us a little bit about what motivated you to write this book.
Well, on a couple different levels. You know, I had written a book about my first journey along the Appalachian Trail, and then, you know, there was a spell of, I guess, writer's funk a bit, but I have a readership out there. You know, I'm on my fifth printing. I've sold nearly 20,000 of my first book, and I wanted to write again and just kind of carry the journey along. But then a tragedy happened in my wife's life, and I walk for causes. And part of taking my wife into the woods and part of convincing her to come along was not only as a couple in the woods, but to heal from the death of her brother to suicide.
Right.
And he died by suicide, and we believe due to untreated depression. So
right. I'm glad you brought that up.
So in doing that, it kind of really seemed like the thing in my hip pocket to do was to turn our hike into an awareness campaign for depression awareness in memory of her brother, to help others and prevent a tragedy from happening to someone else. And
right.
In my first adventure, I had raised money for the children's home, and so I had a roadmap really on how to go about such a thing. And it really became kind of a healing journey, not only for us, but for my wife's entire family as well.
Oh, good. That's wonderful. Well, Mike, tell us a little more about, tell us what where does the passion that you have about walking and hiking come from?
Yeah, and, you know, many of us will go through life and say we want to do something, but then never do it, and then look back and wish we did something. And you have, you know, certain windows of opportunity in life to take advantage of things that require great athletic effort. And after walking the Appalachian Trail, I walked for 5 months, and I came to realize that I was removed from the hustle and bustle of life for 5 months.
For five glorious months, huh?
Oh, you know, and after you get past that dirt and grime, you start to realize all the benefits. You know, we're in such a fast-paced society, and you don't realize all the stresses that you've taken and weighted your shoulders down with.
Mm-hmm.
And walking away from that, it sounds like you're escaping or running from routine, but really you're rejuvenating, you're rebuilding yourself mentally and physically, and you're getting yourself outside the quote, out of the box, as they say, and
mm-hmm.
you're really, you know, you're seeing life from a different perspective. And I realized that just a simple short walk, or a really long one like I prefer to take, is healing and helps you see life and a situation from a different perspective and come back to whatever you left rejuvenated and ready to take it on.
Well, as a matter of fact, I know that you are passionately that you passionately embrace the healing quality of that nature offers. Tell us more about that.
Well, you know, it's when you're walking in the woods or walking in general, it's very nomadic. I mean, it's our bodies were designed to walk, and it's therapeutic. It's rhythmic. I mean, there's research out there that proves that exercise, walking especially, increases a chemical in your brain that enhances your mood. In a university, Texas A&M actually came out with a study showing just even a 10-minute walk can create a euphoria of happiness. And there was a study out of Duke University by Dr. Blumenthal that talks about extended exercise can actually treat depression. So, you know, on top of that, we all know that walking, you know, is physically healing for your heart, and, you know, burning calories, toning your muscles, all of that sort of thing. Then you combine that with the vacation mindset of, you know, putting your work and routine aside. So now you're leaving all that stress behind, adding all these good things, and it just all comes together, and just it's so healing.
Well, that's right. And it doesn't, you know, vacations are important. It's important for people to find a way to get away every now and again.
Right.
There's no better way to put the reality of your circumstances into a better perspective than to get away from it for a little while. Otherwise, you're just bogged down with what feels like the heavy nature of it all. And many of us can find a beautiful, natural setting where we can get a few minutes of a walk in. It doesn't have to be a track, though. If that works for those who can do it, great. But many of us can find a beautiful, natural place to just go get in a 10 or 15-minute walk, can't we?
That's the awesome thing about walking. It's probably the cheapest form of exercise there is.
That's right.
You can do it about anywhere. You know, when I'm traveling, you know, there's not always a national park in your backyard. But
that's right.
But there's always a sidewalk, or at least even a berm alongside a road. And I'll bet, you know, whenever I'm out of town or in a new city, I'm always looking for that local metro park, and it's a neat way of seeing another city from that angle and not just the malls and the parking lots and parking garages, but getting out there and exploring the town and city on foot.
That's right, that's right. The biggest investment you have is in a good pair of shoes, which everyone ought to have anyway.
Very true.
A good pair of walking shoes.
That's right. But, you know, even like if you're at work and you're bogged down on a task you're trying to accomplish and you just can't think past the problem or you can't focus on it, you know, one of the healthiest things you do is get up and take a 10, 15-minute break and take a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back to it. And whether you solve the problem or not, you at least will be mentally refreshed to maybe take it on from a different angle.
Right. That's right. That's right. Well, Mike, I'm sorry. That was the book is A Hike for Mike.
It is.
And Mike was your wife's brother's name.
That's right. Yeah.
Jeff, getting back to the book, A Hike for Mike, what sort of dangers did you encounter with respect to animals, weather, and scary people?
Yeah, and I tried to avoid some of these conversations when explaining the wilderness that we were going to experience. I mean, the John Muir Trail walks through some of the most difficult terrain in the United States, and it's quite wild, chock full of black bear. And these black bears aren't just your small, typical bear. You know, they are in appearance of maybe doing some performance enhancement drugs.
Wow, wait a minute, the bears are? Uh-oh.
And we were in mountain lion country as well.
Oh,
and,
my.
And lo and behold, the first day out in the woods, we're heading up into the mountains. My wife is leading, and we round a bend, and here's this very large bear. My wife looks back to me for, you know, expert advice from her husband on what to do. And
that's so right, the walker.
I'm trying to swallow my true thoughts, and I calmly respond, just walk past the bear slowly and take a picture. And I hope that by taking the picture that keep her mind off the fear, and she had a task. And she did exactly what I said. We round another bend, and there's another bear. And this one's a bit more aggressive, and he's kind of bobbing from side to side and trying to intimidate us. And
oh, wow.
So I picked up a few rocks in case he got too close. I would throw them in his direction. And a little boy comes running down the trail the other direction, and he sees the bear, and he continues to run. Well, the bear pursues the boy in chase.
Oh, my God.
It's because that's the bear's instinct. So
right.
The boy climbs up on this car-sized boulder, and he's pleading for help for his father to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that struck me as, you know, wow, you know, in time of need and crisis, he shouts out for his dad, you know. And we start throwing rocks towards the bear, and the bear runs off into the woods. And we never did run into any bears the rest of the journey, but...
Well, I guess, too, at the beginning of the trip ought to be enough, don't you think?
Yeah. Then there was a moment where by a stream, taking a break, and this is a few days later, and I look down, and there is a paw print in the mud as big as my hand. And
oh.
I knew exactly what it was. It was from a mountain lion, and it was fresh. That lion had just been there.
Oh, wow.
And the humbling thing about a mountain lion is you never see them until it's too late. Cause they hunt you, so they're very stealthy in nature. And so I felt like eyes of the lion were on us the entire journey.
Especially the rest of the journey, huh?
That's right. And when I described this trip, I didn't explain all that to Beth. I didn't want to scare her. And usually, you know, when you're hiking together, you're fine. It's when you're alone, you're vulnerable. But you still want to take precautions.
Of course. And I want to remind the audience that, of course, you convinced Beth to go on this trip for a lot of wonderful reasons. And so, of course, you didn't want to share with her beforehand what she might be running into. Otherwise, you would never have gotten her out there, would you?
That's right. You know, once we got out there, I figured, well, she's experiencing the beauty for herself and the healing nature of exercise. And I must say, she's a marathon runner. She's in very good shape. So her athletic abilities were definitely there.
Good.
But walking in the wild was definitely new for her.
I bet. Well, now, you also mentioned that there were some scary people that you encountered.
Yeah, well, you know, there was an article that I had read in one of the major magazines right before we left talking about some of these Mexican drug cartels that have moved up to the California national parks and were growing massive amounts of crops.
Oh, my Lord.
And so I'm thinking, gosh, I can't speak any Spanish. I hope I don't run into any of these folks. And I guess it's a pretty serious issue. And we do encounter this man who's a bit deranged in nature, and even a ranger we saw earlier in the day warned us, watch out for this character, and we're looking, you know, we're keeping an eye on him kind of thing. And he invited us into his camp, and we declined, and he just seemed real, I don't know, you get this gut feeling about someone,
mm-hmm.
and you're alone in the woods, you go with your gut.
Well, you know, hence the saying, trust your gut.
That's right. So we were completely exhausted when he approached us, and you could see a silhouette in the fading sun as it was going behind a mountain.
Oh,
and he walked for nearly a half mile to get to us.
Oh,
and
my.
So we were sitting taking a break, so I stood up and, you know, pushed my chest out and made myself look as large as I could.
Exactly.
You know, to hide my fatigue as much as possible. And I explained we were fine, and I told him we were going to hike another 20 miles yet today, and we were only going to maybe hike two. but the adrenaline of fear kicked in, and we did put in another 5 or 6 more miles just to make sure we were down the path far enough that he wouldn't, you know, come into our camp at night. And
right.
We never saw him again, but just that fear out there can really get your attention.
Well, it can, and of course, you know, it is said that when you encounter anything wild and scary, try to make yourself look bigger to it than it is to you.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. Well, now, Jeff, I know that you've obviously you are. When did this hike for Mike take place?
The hike itself occurred in 2003, from July through August.
Okay, and since then, obviously, you've taken others. In fact, I note that you hiked through parts of Ireland recently, carrying your little daughter on your back. Tell us about that.
We did, you know. Well, here, you know, we finished this Hike for Mike journey, and my wife is now a full-fledged hiker, and we're still married, I might add. Well, and we were blessed with a daughter, baby daughter, and she's now 2 years old, but
wow.
In June, you know, many of my friends have declined their adventures because they have children, and I refused to join that thought, you know, and this vault door of opportunity opened, and we thought, let's include our child in as many of these adventures as we can.
Right.
And so we planned this family adventure in Ireland, and I convinced my family to come along with us. So then the cool thing was here we are, walking from town to town. Now, I had to water down the adventure a bit because of carrying a child, and my mother and extended family are coming along, so we stayed in bed and breakfast. But we'd walk every day, 10 or 12 miles from
mm-hmm.
town to town,
mm-hmm.
you know, across, along the Atlantic coastline, over the you know, hills and through cow pastures, and
mm-hmm.
and oh, it was just unbelievable. But our child was witnessing us, you know, enjoy ourselves and doing something I'm very passionate about, and whether she has any desire to hike herself when she gets older, she'll at least know, you know, the reaction of someone who is passionately engaged, and so she'll know to maybe go after her dreams as well.
Well, and those are memories. She attained memories that I firmly believe, even at her young age, she will never forget.
Oh, most definitely.
You know, and that will have a positive impact on the way she formulates the rest of her life.
I hope so, yes. Mm-hmm. And it was written all over her face. She smiled nearly the whole time. She was like little Queen Tut, you know, perched high on my back in the little baby hiker pack, and just smiling away, and she'd holler out a name of one of my family to come back and talk to her. And it's funny, when you're walking as a family,
mm-hmm.
the conversation tends to be much more positive than maybe if you're just sitting around in the house or not doing anything. You're
mm-hmm.
kind of, because you're active, and what we talked about earlier, you know, all those things going on, the mental and the physical, it's bound to come out in your interaction with others. So.
Of course. Well, Jeff, your book sounds wonderful, and it's particularly wonderful in terms of heightening the awareness of the reader to the reality of the issues surrounding depression, and about how physical exercise of any kind, including even just a short walk, as you mentioned earlier in this conversation, can do so much to increase the production of a certain positive hormones in our bodies, and just give us an overall better sense of well-being.
That's no doubt. That's right.
And so it seems kind of a silly question to ask you who the target audience ought to be when it ought to be everybody.
You know, everybody should attempt to walk or roll. You know, and I have a brother in a wheelchair, and we have a walk for him every year for the facility where he lives. And if you, the folks that can't walk, they're rolling or they're out there with their walkers or what have you. But
mm-hmm.
just, you know, because it's a social event, too, and the social's important. And, you know, going off for a walk in the woods isn't always just a lonely, solitudinal type of a journey, but more, you know, you can make it a very social experience. And
absolutely.
That's important, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Jeff, tell us what you would ultimately like for readers to understand from reading your book.
Well,
if you had to pinpoint any big thing.
Well, first, you know, the underlying tone is we did this for a cause, but really, this is about a couple who head off in the woods, and we bring all the issues of a relationship with us, and we deal with them in a comical sort of way. And the importance is that, you know, we all have adversity that strikes us at some point in our life,
whether
you want to or not. That's part of the life cycle.
That's exactly right.
And when that does happen, it's how you respond in that situation that will determine your success or failure in life. And so if you just sit there lost and you get a sense of hopeless, helpless that sets in, and it's harder to recover. But if you get back up on both feet and address a problem or issue the way it should be addressed, as best you know how, and move forward together, you know, and find the good out there, and learn that you need to still laugh and enjoy life, that life can't stop because of tragedy, then you'll get through the toughest things. And we prove that. And so the book's written in a light, humoristic fashion, and it's really just meant to inspire and demonstrate a way of overcoming adversity.
That is so positive. Unfortunately, throughout the reality of life, we don't get to hit the pause button, do we?
That's right.
And we don't have a rewind button either.
You really don't. I mean, it's a live performance every day.
And that's it.
I mean, if you look back, you should look back at your fond memories and or what you can learn from the errors you made, but you can't dwell on that. You know,
no.
It'll gel in your mind. You need to move forward. And walking, you know, we took physical steps forward and we had over 25,000 hits to our website during our journey. And the following year, well, the year we released the book, actually, we led a walk to the U.S. Capitol to help raise further awareness. And so this took on a life of its own, bigger than we had ever even imagined. And that proves that, you know, one couple can make a difference.
That's right. We each can. It doesn't have to be earth-shattering. If we can make a positive difference in our own lives, then we're making a positive difference in the lives of those who are immediately associated with us.
Exactly.
And then it can extend beyond that.
Exactly.
And look where it can go. As in your case, it's gone to thousands of listeners and viewers and readers. So you know, and it'll do that in other cases too. And I wanted to emphasize as well that just because you might be at a point right in a particular moment where you're not happy with the results of the choices that you've made, doesn't mean that you can't get up and take a little brisk walk and come back and sit down and say, okay, I now have a brand new moment, and with this brand new moment, I can make a different choice.
You know, some of my most positive thoughts occur while I am walking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I prefer walks in the parks and in the woods, but, you know, and it's because all those good things are going on while you're walking, you can really think in a positive fashion and look at your own life analytically while you're walking and just remove from everything and think what you want to change and do differently. And you know, that's a good way to get it started because you're taking those steps forward physically.
Right, right.
And you can come back to wherever you left and then make, you know, follow through on those actions.
That's right, that's right. Well, Jeff, believe it or not, we are just about out of time.
Okay.
And as we're wrapping things up here, would you please tell the audience where they can not only go to find your book, but also what website can they log on to find out more about what you're involved in and up to and more about your writings?
That's right. Yeah, it's really easy. It's jeffalt.com, J-E-F-F-A-L-T. And you can find out everything you want to know about my books, my tour dates, and any media appearances and things like that. And you can send email comments to me, and I love responding to any questions you may have about hiking, walking, or you could get information on booking me for a speaking engagement, whatever you want. It's all there.
Wonderful. Well, Jeff, I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
Well, thank you very much, Gail. I enjoyed it.
I have, too. Your book is very inspiring and entertaining at the same time. And I want to encourage everyone out there to go to InsideScoopLive.com and ReaderViews.com to look over the reviews. Also, this Internet radio segment will be posted on the author's page on InsideScoop Live. And from there, ReaderViews and the author's website will all have links to this interview. So I want to encourage everyone out there to take a look and a listen and consider purchasing this book for your own needs and library as well as for a gift. Jeff, again, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
And audience, thank you for tuning in to this segment of Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Until the next time, bye.